Thank you. I'm Scott Kump. Recently on Life and Faith Indiana, I spoke with Dr. Charles Ware of Grace Relations regarding the current racial tension in America. He pointed out the idea that there is only one race of human beings. We're all related. Bible believers have known this for centuries, but it's taken a while for mainstream science to catch up. Dr. Ware also mentioned that he was one of the authors of One Race, One Blood, his co-author being internationally known writer and speaker Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. Unfortunately, we didn't get to everything we wanted to address in that discussion, so I've asked Ken Ham himself to join me over the phone and finish that conversation. Welcome, Mr. Ham.
Hey, it's great to be with you, and I love talking about this topic. It's very important.
Yes, it is, and we thank you for picking up where Dr. Ware left off. Now, before we get into that, tell us about Answers in Genesis.
Well, Answers in Genesis is an apologetics organization, and that means we're teaching people to have an apologetic, a defense of the faith. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense or answer, and the defense or answer words are translated from the word apologia, the Greek word, which means apologetics. That's where we get that from. And so what we're doing is giving reasons for what we believe. And we're showing people that when you start with God's word in Genesis, that's the foundation for our Christian worldview, the foundation for all of our doctrines. And when the world teaches things that contradict that, we're giving people answers so they can understand that actually science confirms the Bible. The Bible's history is true. It connects to the real world. It helps us understand who we are, where we came from, what life is all about. And of course, you know, we're counteracting the false teaching of evolution and millions of years that so permeates our education system. And that's what happened when I was a teacher in Australia and started teaching science. And kids said, how can you believe the Bible when we know it's not true because of what we're taught about evolution? And so that's where this apologetics ministry really had its embryonic beginnings. And, you know, it was interesting. One of the first things the kids said to me was, well, how can I get the animals on the ark and so on? And then I started teaching them about science and the Bible and origins in the public school, teaching them how to think correctly about that issue. And I remember teaching on the Tower of Babel and that we didn't come from ape men. We all go back to Noah and his family and then back to Adam and Eve. And we're all one race. We're all one family. And there were three young people from the Australian Aboriginal community that were in my class, so very dark-skinned people, who came up afterwards and said to me, sir, please tell me more. And I started to realize, of course, Darwin actually taught the Australian Aboriginals were closer to the apes than people with light skin, and that they were treated as the missing links in evolution. It was really terrible, the beliefs that people had based on Darwin and their attitudes to the Australian Aborigines. And I saw what a difference it made to them to know they were my family, they were related to me. And that's when I first actually started to be really burdened about talking about this particular issue in regard to the origin of so-called races. And so it goes back to 1975.
Wow. Now, Answers in Genesis involves everything from a whole slew of books to various speakers to you have a creation museum, which I've been to a few years ago, and now you also have the Ark Encounter.
Yes, we actually built the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter as two Christian-themed attractions to basically teach apologetics to the world, to stand for the authority of God's Word, the true history in the Bible, and to be evangelistic in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And actually, the vision for the museum came out of those early days of teaching in Australia when I took my students to museums that were all from an evolutionist perspective, and I wanted them to understand what God's word says and to show how science confirms that, and had a burden for building a creation museum. So that goes back to those early days in the 1970s. And then when we were building the creation museum, we're thinking of what we could do next. And, you know, one of the most asked questions, which goes back to my first year of teaching in 1975, one of the most asked questions we've received is, how could Noah get the animals on the ark? And the flood was an integral event because eight people survived that. The flood's responsible for most of your fossils. And it was a very important event because Noah's Ark is also a picture of Jesus, one door representing the door of salvation and the Ark of Salvation. And so that's when we decided we would build a life-size Ark. And so the Creation Museum has been open for 13 years, and the life-size Ark has been open for 4 years, and millions of visitors from all over the world have come, and it's impacted millions of lives for the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So if people want to know anything about Answers in Genesis, speakers, books, these museums, how do they find that out?
Well, our mother website, if you want to call it that, our main website is answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org. And of course, the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum have their own websites as well. And if you just go to arkencounter.com, creationmuseum.org, I mean, just type in Ark Encounter on Google search or type in Creation Museum on Google search, you'll easily find them. But our actual main website is answersingenesis.org. And you'll see a whole range of materials, curricula, books, DVDs. We even have now our own streaming service, answers.tv, which is our Christian creationist answer to Netflix, so to speak. But it's to provide a streaming service of all of our videos and live streaming and conferences and so on now, so that people can get it anywhere in the world.
Now, let's dive into our topic today. What does the Bible have to say about the origin of the so-called races?
Well, you know, if you think about it very carefully, the Bible makes it clear, 1 Corinthians 15:41, Adam was the first man. Genesis 3, verse 20, Eve was the mother of all the living. So the Bible's history is that everyone is a descendant of Adam and Eve. And remember, we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every tribe and nation. In fact, in Revelation 14, you read about the angel having the everlasting gospel to preach to every nation, every tribe, every language. We also read in Revelation that one day there's going to be standing before the throne of God this countless number of people from every tribe, every nation, every language, clothed in white robes. You see, because the gospel is for us all, because we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. God's Son stepped into history to be a member of the human race, called the God-man, the babe in a manger, to be a descendant of Adam, to die for the descendants of Adam, to be the perfect man. He's called the last Adam, to take the place of the first Adam. So the point is, only descendants of Adam can be saved. Only Adam's race can be saved. But everyone is a member of Adam's race. And the Bible makes that clear. Every tribe, every nation, every language. And when you consider the history in the Bible, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave rise to all the people. Then at the time of the flood, all were judged because of their wickedness, except eight who got on board that ark, came off the ark. And then about 150 years after the flood, there would have been about 1,000 people by then. And of course, today there's billions, but you know, population growth is exponential. It's easy to get the population of the world today from just eight people getting off that big ship 4,300 years ago. But about 150 years after the flood, people rebelled against God again. So he gave different languages. And you read there in Genesis 10, there were 70 different family groups, so presumably 70 language groups that then moved away from each other and developed different cultures. And of course, over time, there's been all sorts of conquests and people mixing with others and so on. And we have all the different nations of the world that we have today. But we all go back to Noah and then back to Adam. All that means is we're all one biological race. You know, if you want to talk about races, you could talk about spiritual races. The Bible talks about those who gather and those who scatter, those who are for Christ, those who are against, those who build a house on the rock, those who build a house on the sand. So from a spiritual perspective, there's two different races, the saved and the unsaved. But there's only one biological race, which means all people are equal before God. We're all the one family. We're all sinners. We all need the same solution, Jesus Christ, and we all need to treat each other as family. So when it comes to, you know, people talking about racial reconciliation, well, as Dr. Ware says, we need grace relations, not race relations, because there aren't any different races. There's only one race. It's the human race. It's Adam's race. So that's important for us to understand, that we're all together in this. It's not us and them, as Dr. Ware would say. It's us and us, because yep, we're all members of the human race.
And as I recall, you don't even like that term race necessarily. You like to use terms like people group.
Exactly. Because the other thing that many people don't realize, I tell you what is fascinating to me. If you look at what's happening in America today, and people are, you know, making all sorts of racist claims. Oh, this person made a statement they consider racist in their past, so we're removing their statue, or we're banning these books from libraries because they made some sort of statement years ago that someone says is the connotation was some sort of racism or something, or they're banning this particular TV program, Little House on the Prairie or whatever it is, because in their time some people thought this way or whatever. You know, the fascinating thing is this. If you want to read some of the most racist statements you could ever read, it's in the material by Charles Darwin. I mean, Darwin is exalted in our public education system, and he's considered almost a god to be worshipped, so to speak. And yet, if you read Darwin's book, The Descent of Man, he actually talks about higher races and lower races, savage races, and that the more advanced races that he considered were people with light skin, you know, like he would say Caucasians, were going to eliminate the savage races, that the Australian Aborigines and certain people from Africa with dark skin were closer to the apes than he would call the Caucasians and so on. Even in 1925, a major biology textbook used in the public schools in America by a man called Hunter actually taught public school students, based on Darwin, that there were five races of man and the Caucasians were the highest. I mean, How is that for racism? And you see, Darwinian evolution inherently is a racist philosophy and has been used to justify all sorts of racist attitudes. Even Hitler used Darwinian evolution to justify what he did to the Jews and others. So here's people out there saying, oh, we need to ban these people, these books, or get rid of these statues or whatever. Wait a minute, why aren't they banning Darwin then? Because if you want some really racist stuff, that's where you can find it.
True enough. Just like the term race, the term color is not exactly appropriate either, is it?
No, and this is where people don't really understand this, but let me say it to you this way. There's no truly, really black people, and there's no really true white people. You know, I say to people, you know, when I'm lecturing at a conference, look, I can prove to you that I'm not technically a white person, and I can do it in 1 second. I stand there and hold up a white sheet of paper beside my face and I say, see, I'm not a white person. And they all laugh. They get it. We actually all have a pigment in our skin, and the pigment is called melanin. Now, there's a few other pigments, but the main pigment we have is melanin. A couple of forms of it, but melanin is basically a brown pigment. So in actual fact, every human being is brown, and it depends on how much brown you have. In the epidermis of our skin, we have these cells that are like upside-down umbrellas. That's sort of what they look like, and they have little organelles in there, and they make this pigment melanin. Now, if you have genes that say you make a lot of melanin, you'll be very dark. If you have genes that say you make a little bit of melanin, you'll be very light. You know, Adam and Eve, God probably gave them maximum genetic diversity, probably were middle brown, but children could have been light through to dark in one generation. I mean, there are many twins in the world today, many examples of twins. I show pictures of them in my talks. We have one that's dark and one that's light. How could that be? Well, if you have a middle brown couple, as an example, and they have a mixture of genes, you know, dominant recessive genes for the amount of pigment in your skin, well, if one of those twins got lots of dominant genes for a lot of melanin and one got the recessive genes for a little bit of melanin, then one can be very dark and one light. That only takes one generation. And actually, what is very interesting, even people who claim they're white supremacists and all the rest of it, they don't realize that it's very possible for many of them that 3-4 generations ago, it doesn't take that long actually, a few generations ago, you could have had a very dark-skinned person in your ancestry. The other thing is that people don't get that what we see on the outside reflects very little of our genetic diversity. In fact, the percentage of genes reflected in our external appearance, which is the basis by which people have talked about race, looking at your external appearance, is like 0.01%. I mean, it is so small, yet we major on those particular things. Actually, as human beings, we share 99.9% of our genes. You see, we're all one race. When the Human Genome Project mapped the human genome in the year 2000, they released their findings to the world, and they said, guess what we found? There's only one race. And so differences like skin color are really just minor differences on the outside. And with color, it's really skin shade, not color. It's a matter of what shade we are. You remember when we learned that chorus at church, Jesus loves the little children, yep. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. If you think about it, a chorus like that is actually creating division, in a sense, and gives wrong ideas that we're so different. I tell people the wording of that chorus should go like this. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Shades of brown from dark to light, all are precious in his sight. Because that then gives the idea of unity in the sense we're all one race. They're just minor variations we see on the outside in regard to our skin shade. And these things are known by the secular world. I personally think that there are many politicians, they know, scientifically, the scientists know, we're all one race, the differences are very minor, the major differences are cultural, and that's really what we're seeing happening in various ways. But I don't think many of our politicians want to get out there or, you know, our newspapers, the media, and say, there's only one race, biologically there's only one race, because I think they want to fuel racism. I think they want to fuel division. And the answer to all of this is the fact that if we don't get back to the true history of the human race from the Bible, from God's word, and the true history of understanding who we are, and the problem we've all got called sin, and unless we have that history concerning creation and the Tower of Babel and understand we're all sinners and the message of the gospel, you're never going to deal with racism in our culture. They can pass all the laws in the world, but it's never going to help, because you've got to have the right history and a right understanding of who we are. And, you know, that's true of everything. When you're looking at racism and gay marriage and abortion, LGBTQ, euthanasia, they're all the same problem. The problem is if you don't start from God's word and the foundational history in Genesis, you've got no foundation for your doctrine, for your Christian worldview. Because once you start from that foundation, then you've got the right way of thinking about all these areas.
So how do you address issues like racism, human origins, that sort of thing at the Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum?
Well, you know, when you come to the Creation Museum, the main exhibit area, and we have lots of different exhibits and theaters like a planetarium that has a new laser projection system, a 4D theater and so on. But the main area is a walk through the Bible. It's a walk through the seven seas. So we walk people through, starting with creation and the creation of Adam and Eve and then corruption, the entrance of sin and death, and now we're all sinners and rebelling against God, and then catastrophe, the flood of Noah's day, which forms your fossils, and then only eight people survived that ark and come off that ark, and then confusion, the Tower of Babel, and that's why you have all these different people groups, and then you follow that all the way through to God's steps into history, be Jesus Christ, the God-man, dying on a cross, raised from the dead, and offers a free gift of salvation. So he put it all in the context of biblical history. And as you come to the confusion area, the Tower of Babel, we talk about cavemen, that there were men that lived in caves. I mean, after Noah's flood, as it people increased on the earth and after the Tower of Babel, some people would go out and live in caves. Others would go and build structures and so on. And we show the evil fruits of racism based on Darwinian evolution with what Hitler did and help people understand we're different people groups. We're all descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. Now, at the Ark Encounter, on the third deck, we have exhibits all through the three big decks of the Ark. I mean, the Ark is, what, 1.5 times the length of a football field, half the width of a football field, and it stands at its highest point above the ground. It is 10 stories high, actually. It's a massive wooden structure. And on the third deck, we have these wonderful exhibits, and we have exhibits there showing how ancient man, you know, going back in our history after the flood, but ancient man built such incredible structures. You know, think of the pyramids, think of some of the other structures, and had technology we don't even understand. He was extremely intelligent. People have this evolutionary idea, man learned to grunt, then learned to talk, and so on. And whereas what we're saying is, no, you know, Adam and Eve, their descendants, within seven generations, were workers of bronze and irons and made musical instruments. So we want people to understand when Noah was building the ship, for instance, he probably already had shipbuilding technology and was able to do that. And man has always been intelligent. And then we have people look at these exhibits dealing with the Tower of Babel and all the different people groups, and we're showing how you can trace those people groups. It's interesting, right now, one of our scientists, Dr. Nathaniel Jensen, has been doing some incredible research on the Y chromosome that comes through the male only, and then the DNA in mitochondria that comes through the female. And what is fascinating, from DNA in the mitochondria, you can actually trace it back, and you'll come back to showing that there are three major groupings in regard to genetics that seem to have given rise to everybody on this planet, which goes back to the daughter-in-laws that married, you know, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And then, as we're doing this research on the Y chromosome, it's showing how much more closely related we are to each other. And you can look at all the changes in the Y chromosome, the mutations and the differences and similarities. And there's been research on this done all around the world, and he's collated all this. And you can actually go back and see where certain, you know, events of conquest and so on were in history, and how closely related to each other people are, and how different people arose and so on. And it all makes sense based on biblical history, going back to the Tower of Babel. And so that's the sort of thing we're showing people at the Ark, the Creation Museum, in our books, in our curricula, in our video programs, that sort of thing. So we're really getting the message out there that, hey, we're all human beings, we're all Homo sapiens, we're all equal before God, we're all family, and we need to treat each other as family. There's also talk these days on injustices of the past and reparations. Look, there's been some shocking racism and prejudice and the way people have been treated in the past and the slavery issue, and some shocking things in American history and other history as well. But as Christians, how should we look at that? The greatest injustice of all was when we rebelled against our Creator. How could we ever make reparation for that? Well, God did it for us. He stepped into history and died on a cross and raised from the dead and offers us a free gift of salvation. He paid for that greatest injustice that has ever occurred. And when you think about that, we think about the grace God shows to us. And by grace, He is saved through faith. And then He tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. He tells us, here's how you pray. Forgive us our trespasses as you forgive those who trespass against us. Remember the great injustice of Jesus being nailed by human beings on a cross. And He's the Son of God. And what do you say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hey, what a difference when you're a Christian, when you understand God's word and His grace, and then you realize it's not a matter of injustices of the past. It's a matter of saying, I don't deserve what God has done for me, but oh, how I want every single person who's one of my family to understand that God's grace for them, the free gift of salvation, that if they receive that, that change their lives. And then vengeance is God's. It's not up to us. It's up to us to tell people the good news.
Well, Ken Ham, before we run out of time, I would like to give you a chance to list your contact information again.
Our main website is answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org. And I encourage people to go there, and you'll find thousands of articles in our books and DVDs and curricula and all the material we have. But also to tell people that we have our own streaming service now called answers.tv. Encourage them to go and get a 7-day trial and check that out. Wonderful programs for kids, for mums and dads. We've got over 2,000 items on there right now. And for our two themed attractions, the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum, you can find out about them from the Answers in Genesis website, or just Google Ark Encounter, Creation Museum. You'll find those websites and all the ticketing information. And come and visit us and spend a few days here. Bring your family, your friends. 30% of those who come to our attractions are non-Christians, and so many have been challenged by the way we present the truth of God's word and the gospel.
Well, unfortunately, we once again don't have time to get to everything, and we probably never will. But if people want to remember a summary of, you know, how to bring the different races, if you want to call them that, together, remember our common heritage in the first Adam and the common value that was ascribed to us by the last Adam. Ken Ham, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for speaking to this issue.
Hey, thank you. Anytime.